Your passenger leans over from the right seat. You've been flying together for an hour. The weather ahead is not what the briefing described. The clouds are lower and they have a meeting they absolutely cannot miss. Who has the final say? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. That question has exactly one answer in the Federal Aviation Regulations, one sentence. And that sentence is the foundation of everything you do as a pilot. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.3. Let's spend some real time with it today before we get into it. Quick word about AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for pilots, and I mean for every step of the journey. First, solo coin. Private pilot coin. Instrument. Commercial. Flight instructor. These are solid, well-made coins that actually mean something because the milestones they mark mean something. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.3. I'm going to read you the full text because every single word is doing work. Paragraph A says the pilot in command of an aircraft is directly responsible for and is the final authority as to the operation of that aircraft. That's the whole regulation, one sentence. Let's take it apart. Directly responsible. Those two words carry the weight of the entire job. Here's what directly responsible means in practice. If you take off in an aircraft that's not airworthy, that's on you. If you depart into weather you're not equipped or rated to handle, that's on you. If your passenger isn't belted in and something goes wrong, that's on you. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, starts every investigation by looking at the pilot in command. Not the mechanic, not the dispatcher, not the lineman who gave you a thumbs up. You directly responsible. And that responsibility starts the moment you accept command of the aircraft. Not from takeoff, not from engine start. From the moment you take command, ground operations, pre-flight, taxi. The responsibility is continuous from that point forward. Now here's the flip side. And this is the part of 91.3 that doesn't get nearly enough attention early in training. Final authority. You are the final authority as to the operation of that aircraft. Not ATC, not your passenger, not the flight school that owns the airplane, you. Let me give you a concrete example that plays out at busy airports every day. Tower clears you to cross an active runway. You look down the runway, there's an aircraft on final, and the numbers don't feel right. The distance looks short, the speed looks high, and something in the back of your brain is saying, wait, you do not have to cross. You can say, unable, holding short. You can ask, confirm that aircraft is going around. You have both the authority and the obligation to tell ATC that you're not comfortable with that clearance. Controllers are professionals working with a radar screen and a radio. You're in the cockpit, you have eyes on the situation, and authority the regulation specifically gives you. Use it. This is not licensed to ignore ATC without cause. The system runs on cooperation, and controllers are almost always right. But 91.3 is there for the moments they're not, or for the moments when the picture in the cockpit is different from the picture at the facility. Let's talk about how this plays out in the dual instruction environment, because I think it confuses a lot of students when you're flying with an instructor who is the pilot in command. The answer is, it depends. When a student pilot is on a training flight with an instructor on board, the instructor typically holds pilot in command authority and responsibility. The student is the one flying, but the instructor is the one responsible. That's why a flight instructor can legally log flight time even when they're not touching the controls. But when you solo, you are the pilot in command, full stop, no asterisk. The authority and the responsibility shift entirely onto you the moment that instructor steps out of the airplane. I remember my first solo clearly. My instructor climbed out, shut the door, and I suddenly understood 91.3 in a way I never had from reading it in a book. There was nobody to look at. There was one pilot in command, and it was me. That shift in understanding is part of what the solo is designed to create. Now let's get into paragraph B, because this is where 91.3 becomes the most important regulation in the entire book. Paragraph B says, in an in-flight emergency requiring immediate action, the pilot in command may deviate from any rule of this part to the extent necessary to meet that emergency. May deviate from any rule. Any. Think about what that means. If you lose an engine on departure and you need to land on a road, you can do it. If you're flying visual flight rules and you're suddenly inside a cloud and you need to climb to clear terrain, you can do it. If you have a medical emergency on board and the nearest flat ground is a no-tamed closed airport, you can land there. The regulations exist to establish safety standards for normal operations. Paragraph B recognizes that emergencies are not normal operations. This regulation is the one that keeps pilots from freezing up and trying to be legally compliant while an emergency develops around them, handle the emergency, figure out the paperwork after. I give students a scenario that's not as dramatic as engine failure but is far more common. You're flying cross-country, your visual flight rules, you're not instrument rated, and weather moves in faster than forecast. You've got 10 miles to the nearest airport and the visibility is collapsing. That is an emergency. Paragraph B gives you the authority to declare it. Tell ATC what's happening, and do whatever you need to do to get the airplane on the ground. Don't try to quietly work your way out of it. Declare it. Use the authority you have. And that brings us to paragraph C. Paragraph C says, each pilot in command who deviates from a rule under paragraph B shall, upon the request of the administrator, send a written report of that deviation to the administrator. Notice what it does not say. It does not say you must automatically file a report. It says upon the request of the administrator. The FAA can ask you to explain what happened, and if they ask, you provide a written explanation. But the act of declaring an emergency and deviating is not automatically a violation or a certificate action. It is a legal exercise of authority the regulation explicitly grants you. Here's where the NASA Aviation Safety Reporting System, the ASRS, comes in. The ASRS is a voluntary incident reporting program run by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. It allows pilots to report errors, deviations, and incidents, and filing an ASRS report within 10 days of an event provides some level of protection against FAA enforcement action, within limits. It's not a blank check for anything, but it's a system designed to encourage honest reporting so the whole industry can learn without punishing every pilot who makes a mistake. If you ever find yourself having deviated from a regulation, made a significant error, or declared an emergency that involved anything unusual, report it. File the ASRS, be honest about what happened, and let the system work the way it was designed to work. The FAA would rather get a report than read an accident brief. Use the system. The reason this matters so much in training is that one of the biggest failure modes I see in student pilots is hesitation. Hesitation to declare an emergency because they're worried about consequences, and that hesitation creates the consequences they're trying to avoid. An uncontrolled situation gets worse precisely because the pilot didn't act on the authority they had. Say the words, Mayday, 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 or, if the situation is urgent but not life-threatening, pan, 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 pan. Get ATC working the problem with you. The authority 91.3 gives you and the help ATC can provide are not in conflict. They work together. Use both. Now, let's connect this to the practical test. Because the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, have specific performance standards that directly test pilot in command authority. The ACS requires the applicant to demonstrate understanding and application of pilot in command responsibility. Not just the ability to recite it, application, the designated pilot examiner, the DPE, is specifically trained to create scenarios that pressure the applicant into a poor decision. The examiner wants to see if you will push on into deteriorating conditions because an impatient pretend passenger is asking you to. They might give you an ATC clearance that's uncomfortable just to see if you push back or comply without question. They're watching how you respond to pressure. Here's what the examiner cannot do. They cannot legally order you to do something unsafe during a practical test. If the DPE gives you an instruction that would compromise safety, you can say, "I'm not comfortable with that as pilot in command." That is not a failure. That is the correct answer. A student who falls short on a maneuver but demonstrates sound command authority is showing the examiner exactly what the ACS wants to see. Here's something I wish someone had told me clearly before my check ride. If at any point during the practical test you feel pressure to do something that doesn't sit right, channel 91.3, say it out loud if you have to, "As pilot in command, I'm not going to do that." The examiner is not looking for a passenger with a headset. They're looking for a pilot in command. Let me leave you with the five things I want you to carry away from today. 1. Know the text of 91.3. The whole regulation is 3 sentences. Know them the way you know your name. 2. Practice saying unable. New pilots often feel like they cannot decline an ATC clearance. You can. If a clearance would compromise safety, you have both the authority and the obligation to say unable. 3. Declare emergencies when they're developing, not after they've become unmanageable. The authority paragraph B gives you does nothing if you invoke it too late. 4. Know the ASRS exists and know how to use it. If you ever deviate or make a significant error, file within 10 days. 5. Be the pilot in command on every single flight. Don't let passengers navigate decisions that are yours to make. Don't let outside pressure override your judgment. The regulation put the authority in your hands, because that's where it belongs. 91.3 is one sentence. Directly responsible, final authority. That's the job. That's you. Information today came from the Federal Aviation Regulations, the Aeronautical Information Manual, and the current Airman Certification Standards. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Fly safe.